It is quite the appropriate song that Ed has selected for the invitation song. It will be quite fitting with the section of Scripture we'll be looking at today when he comes in glory. But it is good to be back here with you this morning. I hope everyone is doing well. Caitlin and I, we are doing well. It was a rough week, but we're doing well. We're doing all right. We had my parents and her parents in 2 weeks ago. This past week, though, was just us, and it's a long week. It's a long week. Not much sleep was to be had, but that's all right. It's all right. It's all going well. It is it's a great, great joy. I guess a great high note in a rather dismal year, it seems. It's been a rough year as a whole for everybody, not just us here in the Taylor, not just us here in the United States, but throughout the world. It's been a pretty rough year as a whole, and it's not over yet. We still have several months left, and we have the whole virus situation going on. It's completely changed the way that we, not just as individuals, but as the world, go about our lives, right? The way we travel, the way we interact with one another, the way we go, you go shopping, the way you go to the doctors. Now you only have one person. Like, if you're an adult, nobody can come into the doctor with you. You've got to go by yourself, right? It's changed the way that things operate in our world. Everything has changed. General routines. From that, we also have social, political unrest throughout our nation, right? We have riots throughout the nation, burning, destruction of property, random acts of violence against anyone and everyone and everything, disrupting daily lives. It's been going on for months, and the nation is completely divided, now probably more so than any time else in modern history. Just had a hurricane hit the Texas and Louisiana coast. Things have been interesting this year. Again, it's just September. We still have a couple of months left in the year, and no doubt, once we get to November, things will get interesting even more so. We have the presidential election coming up, and no matter what you think about any of the candidates, no matter what the outcome may be, it's almost guaranteed that with the amount of animosity and anger that is built up across the nation, that things are going to continue to get worse. When we look ahead, it does not look good. But that really, when we think about all that has occurred and all that will occur and things that are unknown, right? Things we don't foresee or couldn't have foreseen, right? Virus is a perfect example. Nobody could have foreseen that was going to happen. But really, it exemplifies the uncertainty of life. The uncertainty of life, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to come at any point in life. We can be certain that uncertainty exists, that we don't know what's going to come. Even the best laid plans can just go up in flames for some unforeseen reason, and there's nothing you can do about it. You think about, again, the year, but you can also think about your general depiction of a perfect day, or where someone would plan for what they want to be the perfect day, would be a bride with her wedding day. Right? All the planning in the world can go into it. Some women look forward to it for their entire life, for this one day, and do everything in their power to make sure that it all goes exactly as they want it to be. So it's just perfect. But then it rains. It rains and there's nothing you can do about it. Well, maybe they planned for that. Well, that's a possibility. So we'll have an indoor wedding. Okay, well, it rains and the storm is bad. The power goes out. Now what are you going to do? There's a lot of things you just can't plan for. Or Caitlin and I, our wedding, she had it all planned out. She couldn't plan for herself and her family getting the flu. There's nothing you can do about that. She can't plan for being in the ER the night before the wedding, getting pumped full of fluid so that she can actually be awake and keep, be hydrated. You can't plan for that, but that is life. That is life. And again, if anything, this year has shown us very well that we cannot place our trust, our hope, or our faith in the things of the world or in any man-made thing that exists, because it's just unknown. We don't know how long it will last. And this is where when we turn to the gospel, that is the beauty that we find in Christ. That is the beauty that we find in the gospel, in that it is timeless. No matter who you are, no matter where you are in life, no matter where you're from, no matter what circumstances you find yourself throughout any stage of your life, the Word of God offers hope. Right? It offers hope that stands in complete contrast to the world. You know, whereas this life and the things of this world, we find uncertainty. With the Word of God, we find complete certainty. Right? With the world, we have uncertainty and we have doubt. But with God's Word, we have complete certainty and confidence. We find a hope of eternal life, a hope that is eternal and that does not vanish away. Our hope lies with Christ and in His resurrection. Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says Jesus is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. We don't have to worry about that changing. That is a certainty. And if that is where we place our faith, if that is where we rest our hopes, then no matter what may come our way in this life, we can have a peace. We can have a comfort in looking forward to that which is to come if we are found faithful in Him when we leave this life. You know, and it's sad. We look at the world and there's already enough uncertainty involved. There's already enough craziness involved. And yet, even when we turn to the Word of God, we'll have those in the world who try to throw uncertainty into that area as well, right? We place our faith in there, and there are those in the world who will try to cause us to have a lack of faith in that Word, cause us to feel uncertain about it, or have doubt about it. And that's what we're going to see here in a few minutes as we get into our text. But thankfully, we do know that when we look at the Word of God, this is where we have to, as we're going to see, we have to stand strong in the face of anything that may come our way, be it things of the world or be it from those who would may try to cast doubt on the confidence and assurance that we have in the Word. Because one of those places, again, it's standing in complete contrast with the world. One of the places we find that I loved reading about with the certainty of God, and as I mentioned a second ago, it's going to be very fitting with our invitation song. One of the places that we find great certainty is found in 2 Peter chapter 3. Here we find the assurance from God, a very strong assurance of this great day that we have to look forward to as Christians, the coming of the Lord. And again, it is so fitting standing in contrast with our world today, full of uncertainty, where we have told to us here in 2 Peter chapter 3 a great assurance in what is to come, a promise of what is to come. And so if you will, turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to begin looking at this great assurance we have in the Word of God and the confidence we can have in it. Starting in verse 1, he says, Peter beginning in verse 1 says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Right? And here, this is Peter. He's seeking to stir up the minds, the pure minds, right? Their pure minds, to remind them, right? This is written to Christians, and he's going on to remind them of the great spiritual truth that exists in the midst of, again, what will be, as we see here in a second, those trying to cast doubt on these truths. This great spiritual truth that exists in the midst of uncertainty. And he says, don't forget, in essence, don't forget the reasons for the hope that you have within you. Don't forget the great blessings that we have in Christ. Because forgetting those things is a very quick way to find yourself removed from Him. As Christians, we have escaped from the world. We have access to all spiritual blessings in Christ now, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. And we cannot allow ourselves to once again become entangled with the world. We cannot allow ourselves to become complacent or forget how far we have come. And so Peter here reminds them to be mindful of of the scriptures, of the teachings of the apostles, of the Holy Scriptures, as he says. And that's what we have here with the Word of God. We have the Holy Scriptures, and we need to always, perpetually, throughout our daily lives, continually be mindful of them. We cannot let them, we cannot become lax in our studies. We cannot become complacent in our applications of God's Word. We always have to be mindful of what exists there. And we see in verse 3 why this is such a great warning. Verse 3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Men are going to cast doubt on the Word of God. They're going to say, where is he? Where is your God? You know, we've seen the way the world works. You go back in history, we see how it has worked. Where is your God? If he says he's coming, why hasn't it happened? In the midst of uncertainty, right, we place our faith in the Word. We have our hope in the truth of God's Word. And yet, even that is under attack by men. Even that is under attack as men try to cast doubt upon what we find there. But Peter here says, he reminds them, stand firm with the Holy Scriptures, because there will be these attacks. He says, stand firm. Place your hope in it. Look to the coming of Christ. And he continues in verse 5 here. For this they willfully forget. Right? He says they scoff at you, they mock, but they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in it the water by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So many in our world today will cleave to the wisdom of men as to the origins of all things, you know, where man came from, where the earth came from, where how the universe exists or began. So many cleave to a feeble notion that man has the answers. You know, to me, from how I see it, it takes quite the audacity of man to suggest, as many do today, that we could possibly have any idea of what occurred billions upon billions upon billions of years ago, as they suggest, as many scientists today suggest the time frame of the existence of the universe is billions upon billions of years, and they profess to know, have any clue what occurred that far back. Now, again, obviously, I will not agree with the notion that the universe has existed billions and billions of years. We know when we go to the Word of God that is not the case. But to suggest that they have any idea if that was the time frame, that's quite the audacity when throughout our daily lives we know so little. Things change. Things throw a wrench in our daily lives just in an instant. But it exists to them when they look at the Word of God. There has to be a different way. When they look at the Word of God, interestingly enough, you know, where we see certainty, they see uncertainty. They see doubt. But when we truly examine the Word, we do find comfort. We do find assurances. We don't have to guess as to how things were. We don't have to guess as to whether this is, maybe it was this way or maybe it was that way. We don't have to wonder or hypothesize We don't have to be willfully ignorant, as Peter would say here. We don't have to be willfully ignorant of the truth of God's word, because we know what the truth of God's word says. We can go to John 1 regarding the beginning, right? That's what he's addressing. We go to John 1, in the beginning the word was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. We know what the word of God says. We don't have to guess about what the word of God says. We go back to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and we see proclaimed clearly the creation of all things. We don't have to guess as to how it occurred. And we don't have to remain ignorant of those things. The world being destroyed by a flood, we don't have to guess about those things. Genesis chapter 5 through 10 declare those things to us. And we have assurances of these things. We can know with certainty the truth of these things. And Peter says, he says, rest assured, the same word that created all things now upholds all things until the day in which the earth is reserved to be burned up with fire on the day of judgment, and the terrible fate that awaits ungodly men on that same day. As we're going to sing here in a little bit at the invitation song, it's a great day for those who are prepared, a great day for those who look forward to that day. But those who are unprepared, it is a terrible fate that awaits them. And it is a day that is assured, a day that we can look at and know for certain is coming. These are promises from God, right? These are not guesses, right? This isn't some men writing this down and guessing that these things will come or just hoping that perhaps they will come. These aren't predictions. These things are certain. This great day of judgment will come. Even though it has not come yet, and this is the point Peter is going to make here in the next few verses, even though it has not come yet, hope is not lost. Peter here is encouraging the brethren to remain faithful even in the face of scoffers, even in the face of those trying to cast doubt and uncertainty on the truth of God's word. Because despite their attempts, despite what they might try and twist the scriptures to look like, despite how they may try and throw uncertainty at you, God does not go back on what he has said, right? God does not mess around. God does not forget the promises that he has made. God said this would come, right? The Lord said this would come, and there is a certainty in that promise. We can know that if God said it, that it will come to pass. Verse 8, he says, Peter says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, right? He says there's scoffers out there saying, you know, if he's coming again, well, where is he? But he says, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right? Just because to many in the world it may seem that it's not happening, just because many in the world say, well, where is he? We don't see any evidence of it coming to pass. Maybe many in the world will say, well, where is your God? He, you know, if he exists, where is he? He just seems to have vanished, or he never existed at all. Just because many see that doesn't mean that is the case. Just because in man's eye there have been no evidences of him for years upon years, by man's estimation, Peter says, don't be fooled by that. Because to the Lord, that's nothing. To the Lord, that time frame, it's nothing. It's just a blink of an eye, and not even the blink of an eye. God does not work within the time frame of man, or as man sees fit. In the grand scheme of things, in the eternality of God, this time that has passed is nothing. You know, we think about the uncertainty of our life. The time that has passed, in looking forward to Christ, you know, with all that we have going on around us, the time that has passed is nothing. Our life in general is nothing. It is but a vapor, right? Our life in general is nothing in the grand scheme of time. This uncertain year we've had, this difficult year, it will pass. I assure you, there have been worse years in the past, and there will be worse years in the future. This does not give us the excuse, because times are hard, to give up, to become complacent, to forget who we are and what our purpose is in this life as Christians. Because rest assured, we are still looking towards that day in which Christ comes, right? We are still Christians. That responsibility has not gone away. We still have the responsibility, as Peter declares here, to remain faithful in the face of anything. That day is coming because, as he says here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. As some men, he says, as some men chase after their own lust and desires and find nothing but despair and difficulties in the world, and as men deny the existence of God and deny that Christ will return, as men turn to themselves and turn to the world, Peter says, don't be fooled. Do not be fooled, because that day of the Lord, it is still on the horizon. It is still coming. Christ will return. And I love how it speaks of the mind and compassion of God, right? It's not that he forgot. It's not that he's forgot about, right? God has a purpose behind the time. He is long-suffering towards us. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance, right? Whereas the world sees the absence of God's action, right? They see an absence of action being taken by God as, he must not be there. Rather, God's inaction in regards to an immediate punishment towards those who do wrong, right, against sin, his immediate inaction is not that he does not exist. It is just his long-suffering. It is his long-suffering towards man. It is a display of the patience of God, willing to give men a chance to repent. We don't deserve it, but he's showing us long-suffering. Acts 17, verses 30 and 31 go along with this, right? We quote these often in regards to repentance, and it fits exactly with what Peter is declaring here. He says, truly in these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Why does God command all men everywhere to repent? Verse 31, because he has appointed a day of which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. That's exactly what Peter's saying here. That's exactly what we have here. You see the certainty in those statements in Acts. He has given us assurance of these very things by Christ's resurrection. Because Christ was raised, we can have a confidence that this day is going to come. We don't know when. We don't know when, as we're about to see in 2 Peter, but we do know it is going to come. And so our priorities need to be as such that we're not focused on the things going on in the world around us. We need to constantly be looking ahead to those things that we do know are coming. Right? We can't change a lot of what's going on around us, but we can continue to have our mind right and our lives right, looking forward to what we know when we turn to the Word of God, what we know is going to come. And so many today waste the precious time that they have in their lives denying God, denying His existence, denying the resurrection, denying the return of Christ, chasing after the lust of the world, chasing after the physical in this life, and they will perish. They will perish not because God wants them to, but because they deny God, they deny the power of God, and they deny the truth of God's Word. But again, Peter's point here is to the saints. His point is, don't be fooled. Verse 10, he says, but, right, despite the scoffers, despite the detractors, despite all of that, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, And then here, pay attention to this next part, because this is the emphasis of remembering these things, of why it's important. Therefore, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with the fervent heat. And then in verse 13, the hope, right? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and new earth in which righteousness dwells, right? He says, but despite these things, this day is coming. And when it comes, there will be no denying it. There will be no question as to what is occurring. Nobody's going to be confused as to what's happening. It's going to be very clear. We don't know when it's going to be, but when it happens, you're going to know. And there won't be any second chances or last-minute changes of heart. That day of the Lord will come, and it will come as a thief in the night. And on that day, this world that so many put their trust in, so many put their faith in, spend their entire life chasing the things of this world, it's going to be done away with in an instant. It will be burned up. And on that day, all of the uncertainty, all of the doubt that exists in this life and the things of this life, they will become irrelevant in an instant. All of the confusion will vanish. And all that will remain, all that will matter that will remain, will be as to if we put our faith and hope in the Word of God while we were here. Since this is the truth, since this is assured to us by God, as we saw in Acts chapter 17, by the resurrection, we're assured of these things. How ought we live our lives? How should we conduct ourselves? How should we live each and every day, right? According to the truth of God's Word, we should not be focused on the world, not be focused on the physical, not putting our faith in the flesh. We should be looking always to that glorious day in which Christ will return, because if our lives are right, if our lives are right with God when that day arrives, and if we are dead in Christ and faithfully following Him, we have nothing to fear. We look to something far better. And as Peter concludes in verse 14, because of this, because we do have this hope to look forward to, because this day is coming, because if you're not ready, punishment awaits. He says in verse 14, therefore, again, because of these things, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that, like verse 15 here, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all of his epistles, speaking in these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures. You therefore, he says, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because of this truth I am proclaiming to you, because of these things you already know and these assurances of God, look forward to this day. Expect this day to come. Because they will, and live accordingly. Live a righteous life accordingly. Right? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Be holy, for I am holy. That is the life we are called to as Christians. Again, our lives, our responsibilities don't come to a standstill just because doubt or uncertainty exists in the world, or just because doubt or uncertainty is thrown at us. No matter what is thrown our way, no matter what state we exist at in life, our responsibility as Christians remains the same. And again, I love verse 15, right? He says, consider the long-suffering of our Lord is as salvation, right? Don't consider the period of time between, as we're waiting for Christ to return, don't consider that uncertainty, right? Don't consider that as God's forgetfulness or neglect. He says, consider that salvation. Consider that as an opportunity to get things right. Appreciate the patience of God and the long-suffering of God. God is giving us all the opportunity, all men everywhere, the opportunity to get our lives right. He says, Paul speaks of these things too, right? God is giving every single person an opportunity to get things right. And he says, you know, some of these things are difficult. And some, as he said in the previous verses, some are going to try and twist them. Some are going to try and throw doubt on these things. But he tells them, you stand firm, stand strong. Don't let anyone or anything come between you and following after Christ and looking towards that day. Don't let anything come between you and continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, it's an interesting dynamic when we look at the world around us. Again, when we look at the world, when I look at the world, I see uncertainty, I see confusion, I see doubt. We are in the world, but we're not to be of the world. We are to build our hopes on the Word, not the world. And yet much of the world, when they look at the Word, they see uncertainty. They see confusion. They see doubt. Where is your God? It's interesting how that works. But when we truly get down into the Word, as Peter says here, don't let that distract you. Because we know that the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. When we truly open up the Word of God and we truly examine it with an open and honest heart, we don't find confusion. The Lord is not the author of confusion. We find, when we're honest, we find consistency. We find assurance. We find certainty. And that is where we must place our hopes. And so as we get ready to leave here this morning, and no matter what may come our way in this life, let us never forget the great hope that we do have in Christ. Let us never forget the great blessing that we have in the Lord's long suffering. Right? We look to that day in which Christ returns, and we wait patiently, longing for that day, but being thankful for the long suffering, allowing us the opportunity to get things right. And not only for our sake, but I know each and every one of you in here has somebody in their life who is not yet a Christian. The Lord's long suffering is for them as well, to give them an opportunity to get things right so that they are not lost for all eternity. So let us never forget our responsibilities as Christians as we go through this life, no matter what is thrown our way. If you are here this morning and you have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, if you are one who perhaps has lived your life with the thought that there is no God. Where is God? Or if He is there, where is He? Why hasn't He done something? If you're one who've lived that life and you've never openly and honestly studied the Word and looked into it and you'd like to do so, we would love the opportunity to sit down and study with you so that you can see what the Word of God truly does say. Because it is something. It is the only thing we can truly rely upon in this life. It is the only thing we can truly trust and build our faith upon. We would love the opportunity to study with you. To begin with, in order to be a Christian, there are a few things you have to do. You have to hear the Word of God, as Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There's no way around that. We have to hear the Word of God. That's the only way. We have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Again, these things are true. We have to truly believe that it is so, that Jesus is the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24, Therefore I said unto you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. We then have to repent, as we saw in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, right? In the times of this ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. He is waiting, displaying His long-suffering towards us so that we have the opportunity to repent, but we have to do that. And then we must confess Christ before men, that He is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then we do have to be baptized into Christ. As we saw earlier, when we are in Christ, that is where we gain access to all spiritual blessings. But we can only be in Christ through being baptized into Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we get into Christ. That's the only way we gain access to those spiritual blessings that exist in Christ. That is the only way, by submitting to His will through baptism, that we come in contact with that soul-cleansing blood. And after this, after we are in Christ, we do have to continue to remain faithful. As Peter would declare to them, you have to continue to press on. You have to continue to strive to live your life no matter what. And look to that day that is coming. If you know and understand these things and you're ready to put Christ on in baptism, we are ready to do that this very day. We would love the opportunity to help you with that. There's no better day to do it than today. If you've already been baptized and yet you've lost hope, perhaps you've lost sight of what truly is important in this life, and you've been sidetracked by anything that this life has thrown at you, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need to make things right, now is the time to come while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.